Welcome in to DC On Screen. I'm your host, David C. Roberson. This is my co-host, Jason Goss.
Hey!
This episode, we are talking and getting super spoilery on Legends of Tomorrow 110, Progeny. Mm-hmm. That's episode 151 of DC On Screen. And so we're going to have a whole conversation about, what was it, Little Stabby? Is that what you're calling
him? Yeah, I was trying to decide between Little Stabby and Baby Hitler, because it's...
Sorry, I had to look it up on the internet here, mm-hmm. how you said this kid's name, Perdegaton, as I was like, what the hell were they saying? Like, I suddenly realized, like, you know what? I had no idea what Rip Hunter was saying the entire time.
Most of the time.
He's like, I'm like, what?
They would say his name, and mentally I'm like, uh-huh, they're addressing the child. I understand. That's all I got out of it.
And then he's like, the Twadegaton Sorrel. I'm like, wait, who? Wait, is there a different Degaton? Oh, his dad. Okay, cool.
Right. Yeah.
But it's Perdegaton and Tordegaton.
There you go.
And, yeah. Persnickadick. What?
Right. Pure flummery here, man.
So that opening conversation between Rip and Rory, that was good.
Lovely. Everything with Nick this episode was just lovely.
Your quarrel should be with me, not him. If it makes you feel any better, I want to kill both of you.
Right.
Yeah. There's Mick.
That's the guy we liked. And I love that. What does he tell him? Like, I brought you along in denial of your true nature. And when that true nature took its course, I asked Nart to, and he kind of trails off for a second, take care of it or whatever he said.
No.
No.
He actively says, I asked Nart to take care of you.
Right. But I thought it was a good point. I mean, and accurate, really, because Rip totally screwed him over. He didn't want to bring Mick. He just brought him as part of the, you know, it was a part and parcel thing. So
we're a package deal.
Right. And I guess they are again. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Because I got to say, the A story on this thing, they accomplished nothing. In fact, they came and made things worse. But,
and that was kind of the point.
Right. But we did get Mick back, kind of, I guess, maybe.
The one thing that bothers me about them not, them kind of like, I don't know, never really making a solid difference is, I thought Rip was, like, good at this.
I've been wondering about that, too, but here's what I'll put it this way. My headcanon, at least, on it, if the show, and I think the show said something about it, but... is that Rip is good at being a normal Time Master. Right? He's mm-hmm. great at doing the job that they do. This is not normal Time Mastering. This is mm-hmm. a ragtag group of people that he felt he could risk taking without the timeline blowing apart. And, yeah, he's kind of fighting against a lot of the tricks he was ever taught. So I figured it's like he's trying to do a job that no one would have ever taken on.
Yeah, I guess so.
Which presumably is harder, I guess. I don't know. Because he seems damned competent sometimes, and, you know.
Is it what year? 2146? Is that right? Is that
2147? Yeah, somewhere around there at least. Yeah. All
right. They said in 5 years' time, like, this is the zenith of humanity. Mm-hmm. In 5 years' time, everyone will be dead, pretty much.
Not everyone. They said it decimated it, so 90% gone.
Yeah. For it to be like 2146, 47, whatever, zenith of humanity. Were you a little put off by the fact that they were still using tablets?
No. I just assume the tablets have more bloatware and are still faster somehow.
Because it was like they had it in like the little like foldable like tablet protector thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like Tordegaton was like, I don't know, he was just using a pink tablet, and I was like, really?
Okay. I don't.
I mean,
to what? It doesn't bother me for two reasons: one that makes sense, and one that is you'll see. I think of the tablet as actually so damned useful. I mean, I don't use one that often, but for other people, they're so damned useful that it's one of those technologies that I think we may not really need to move on from for a good minute. I can buy it being even a couple hundred years, and we're still basically using the idea that you can carry around a screen and do it, you know, have your way with it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it could do just a whole hell of a lot more. I guess
my other reason, though, is a little cheaper. I would prefer them have put their money into the, you know, super-powered fights rather than investing production money in new technology crap. I don't care about new technology crap in 2014. That's not why I'm watching the show.
Right. Yeah, like, I mean, hey man, you know, I watched Star Trek. Like, I had to come up with reasons why they were, you know, using big ass old computers.
Right.
But the first thing that
they looked
of
damn
was, like,
spiffy,
you know,
at the time.
Like, in terms of like how, like, I'm like, oh, what could they have done? What could they have done that would have been cheaper and yet looked more futuristic? And the first thing I thought of was like Badger holding up that piece of paper that had like the scrolling text on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
From Firefly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. It was just, it made me laugh when I saw that.
Extra money, that, put it somewhere else.
It just made me laugh when I saw that tablet. It did.
Right.
it also made me laugh when I saw Jewel State. By the way, Jewel State!
Hey, Kaylee's back!
Another Firefly reference, I guess. Mm-hmm. It made me laugh when she was holding that gun, and I'm like, that gun looks like it's from 2015, man.
Mm-hmm. That's how this show rolls, man. Like, Rip Hunter's gun would have been designed in, like, 1870 as far as its shape.
I know. I'm okay with that.
But again, we're back to, like, how often do you really need to trade in a paradigm for a new one? It's a gun. It's designed mm-hmm. like a gun. They gun well, guns. There doesn't seem to be much of a need to trade it off for a new design. It's, well, does it kill people when you point them at it? Yeah, cool. Keep it.
Yeah. I actually did laugh when they were having that board meeting or whatever, and that government board meeting, and Vandal Savage was like, the herd must be thinned.
I liked the line. You know what's crazy? I'm going to sound like an absolute psychopath for a second, but it occurs to me every now and then that, man, you know, populations are pretty good. They get pretty high pretty quick. Some part of me that wonders, you know? Is there a moment where mankind does need to be thin? It's just an intellectual exercise. Thankfully, I'm not actually Vandal Savage-esque, but
have we tried to kill the poor?
Right. Yeah.
So that Mitchell and Webb look for anyone who's interested. That's what that kill the
be
poor
interested.
Line is from.
Wonderful stuff. We've said before.
It's
now,
good
stuff. Wonderful
stuff.
It's
good stuff.
And I like. Okay. By the way, with Savage, I like to. Something they did with him in this episode that I actually did enjoy. Like, mm-hmm. he's doing that mentor thing, and he's got the, oh, come my child, good boy. You know, he does that demeanor pretty well, it looked like, actually. But I liked his little jokes to himself about, oh, I wouldn't want to risk execution, would I? I kind of liked it.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. It was.
They don't do a lot with Savage's personality. They just use him as he's a bludgeon for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So. Getting to see his real personality is actually kind of neat sometimes.
This episode, I found out that, because of this episode, I think I found out that I'm way less progressive than I thought I was.
Why?
Because the entire time, I'm on Team Snart. He's like, we kill the little bastard ourselves. I'm like, yeah, kill him. Kill him. Don't try to save him. He's awful. He's Hitler. Right. He's little Hitler. He's a kid. Do it while his neck is weak. Just snap it. Snap it, guys. He's little Hitler. Stop mulling over the moral
debating this? I love Ray's summation though of their argument. Oh, infanticide to child abduction. Progress.
Yeah. I'm like, shut up, Palmer. You're an idiot. We're killing this little bastard. That's what we're doing. Like, oh, because you killed here.
If you're smart in this situation, you're going, Rip, grab the child. I'll distract the team.
Hey, we're killing Tor Dagaton's son to save your son. Ooh, burn. No, wait, no. He killed most of mankind. Screw you. We're killing him.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it didn't work. You made things worse. It sped up the process by 5 years. Well, no shit.
Oh, by the way, speaking of the teams, I really loved the bit when they're doing the game plan, when they're doing the wargaming on it. Mm-hmm. Where they're calling Connor, they're just calling out team kidnapping or team robot army. I love that bit. And then like Rip's little kind of mostly sarcastic go team, you know, at the end.
Yeah.
That was good stuff right there.
Yeah. I like the line about Predigaton priming the world for dictatorship. That was a good line. I don't know why I like that line so much, yeah. But one thing that bothered me though is they were like, people are being tormented by my technology, and I'm like, dude, like I'm sure that's what they were trying to get across, but I honestly just saw like a mugger who got shot. That just sounds like cops, man. It just sounds like they're actually pretty adequate police officers.
No, but I know where your heart's at here. Like this this is kind of like a Kingdom Come-esque future that's just made out of Raytech, like Palmer Tech.
Right. Yeah.
And, but there's a part of us, I know how we work too. Like there's a part of us that's like, "No, fucking Batman made a bunch of like this makes sense to me. This makes total sense to me." Why are we
well, okay. I could if like it was like a kid who like stole like a piece of candy and he got shot and he got incinerated. And, like, his family was like, "No, why? It was just a piece of candy."
Of course.
I'd be like, I'd be on board. I'd be like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, screw that shit. Like, they need to take that down. Like, that's not acceptable." But, you know, this was a mugger. And he didn't, like, did I miss something? Did he actually get killed? I thought he just got stunned.
I mean, that's
not torture. That's not torture by technology,
It looked
Ray.
Like they took him down rather efficiently, actually. I'm confused.
Yeah. I'm like, you know... There were no, you know, racial epithets thrown. There was no, you know, unnecessary violence. They stunned him and, you know, and Ray's like, "This is torture." I'm like, "No, they're actually pretty cool." Like, I don't know. Like,
well,
there's no crime.
I'll say this.
There's no crime.
We can interpret it two ways. When you actually, I just clicked the scene on in the background while we were talking. Just check it out. They hit him with this red Ray thing and he stops moving completely.
I guess Ray means red means dead.
I suppose. I don't know. I mean, if that guy's, you know, straight dead, okay. All right. Palmer has his points. Probably shouldn't be killing muggers outright. I mean, come on, man. Right. It's that's not
same
a kill
time.
You in the middle of the street offense, right?
Well, I mean, I would say no, but then I don't live in Utopia.
Right.
What the hell do I know?
Maybe things are better there. It was 22nd century sensibilities that we're lacking.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. If that guy's stunned, I think Palmer's probably overreacting. If that guy's dead, I'll give him his
point. Laugh when they were like, "Oh, why should corporations took over the government?" And for once, I actually laughed at dude, Firestorm. He was like, "Didn't that happen in 2008?
Yeah.
Okay, well played, Jax.
Well played, Jax. Well played.
No, shut up again, because you're
I
already
see
annoying
you
me.
Too were affected by the recession of 2008.
As I recall, you're a mechanic.
Right.
That apparently can understand future technology, which...
No, that actually makes a lot of sense. No, that's a big piece of backstory for him, apparently. Look at that. He's a mechanic that apparently understands futuristic technology at a glance. So apparently he was way underemployed before, and I suppose,
given his
snarky comment, it was due to the 2008 recession.
Right. But was also a character who was not going to get to go to college unless he had a football scholarship.
That still holds. That still holds.
All right.
That could work. It's a wee flimsy, but it could work.
I'm gonna keep it
as part of my headcanon because it makes Jefferson a little more well rounded.
All right. I love Snart. No litter, no street crime, no smog. How soon can we leave?
Right. It's just during the middle of that, you sure you don't want to just shoot him?
And then when he catches, when he actually sees, he spots Perdegaton, he says, "I've spotted little Lord Fauntleroy."
Oh, he is so much fun.
He is.
Man, that little kid, I was afraid of him, to be honest. Kid did a pretty good job.
What do you mean?
He's, even the way he stares down Rip Hunter, just, you know, I can see it in your eyes. You're not a killer kind of thing. Going, damn, this kid needs to be put down, maybe. Rip, if you weren't sure before, look at that kid. Look in his eyes. Those are snake eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That kid was good. He was pretty good.
I thought he did a pretty good job.
Once again, Wernher von Braun of robots. Not so much, Ray.
No, that works.
I mean, yeah, but
well, it's
I
like
really
the like the Americanized version is so Oppenheimer wasn't particularly proud of himself. Like all of the people in Project Manhattan were not particularly fond of what they had accomplished.
I know. I'm just, you know, I was still on the side of this. It just ain't that deep with those police officers.
Concede his point is what I'm trying to get to.
Right.
That guy's dead in the street. The whole episode plays
that way, yeah.
So I'm just going to pretend that's exactly what happened.
All right. So I wrote down here, team is very progressive about Tiny Hitler.
Yeah.
They really want to save that kid. what's funny is I think most of these people on the team who were like, no, he's a child, you can't kill him. If he was an adult, they'd be like, yeah, kill him.
No, most of them, like Stein and Palmer would still, kid or adult, not either way, they'd say, no, it's cold-blooded murder. That's not what we signed up to do. I feel certain about that.
I think the shifting weight, though, here is Mick Rory going, killing a kid, not very hero-like.
Right?
Like, damn, you right, too, man? He's tiny Hitler!
Like, Kronos / Heatwave thought this was a poor idea. We should reconsider.
I will really enjoy it if they come back next week and be like, okay, so kill tiny Hitler? Yep, okay.
All right, team, we agree. Next time we kill the baby, right? Right? Okay, we're on the same page. Stein, get your hand up.
Baby murder.
Stein. We're down? We're down? Okay. All right, let's go get lunch. You know my favorite line out of this episode, though, man? Snart and Mick having that conversation. The way he introduces it, like the rest of the... the rest of the team seems to think we need to have a heart-to-heart. And Mick responds, like, we don't have hearts. Where does that leave us? I loved that little back and forth, man.
That was good.
They've been some of the most fun, one of the most fun parts of this show in general.
Mm-hmm.
Good to see them back. And cage match time, right?
Absolutely. And I love that, you know, by the way, they both have hearts.
Don't listen to that bullshit. They proved it by the end of the episode. They knew.
They proved it. Actually, my favorite
They missed bit, each other. They did.
My favorite bit, the closest... The moral quandary of to kill or not to kill baby Hitler. The best it was, and this is probably one of my favorite things of the episode, was the kid wakes up and says, who are you? Mm-hmm. And Rip says, that's an excellent question. That was like a Whedon moment. I was like, no, it doesn't make sense that you snipped that line when you could have just taken it off of him. But whatever. That was a good line.
Right. I thought about that chord. And I'm like, maybe future tech. Maybe you have to replace that tube every time. I don't fucking know.
No, it was just he was gonna stab him. He was gonna stabby, and then he like chickened out at the last minute, snipped the line, and it made no sense. But whatever.
Had to cut something. Damn it, he got in a cutting mood. Things need shivin'.
Rip had some good advice for the kid, too. Be the man your father wants you to be, not the man Savage wants you to be. That was good.
Right.
Too bad it didn't do anything.
He walked away from that speech, and I kind of... That was my first thought, was like, dude, that is not, like... That is not a powerful enough speech to have changed. You didn't just change the world. Mm-mm. You did not just save this mission.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe let him in on the fact that Vandal's going to kill him one day. He said he was going to betray him. He could have just said, no, I've seen it. He kills you on the battlefield. He puts a knife through your freaking throat, child.
Yep.
You never had a chance. Oh, by the way, he's immortal. So even if you did, you couldn't kill him. Just so you know.
Okay, I'm going to start talking about some stuff.
Okay.
One, the whole storyline with Kendra and Rey.
Yeah.
Like, was it me or did the whole I feel like I'm cheating on Carter with you thing? I mean, it needed to be addressed, but I felt like it was wrapped up a little quickly.
Well, they didn't wrap it up. They just said they were going to work on it. Okay. Let me put it this way. Technically, nothing about the story bothers me. And in fact, parts of it are clever. Like, the reason they had those 2 years of relative happiness is because she was losing her memories and losing her connection to the other lifetimes, and essentially Carter, that plays. So she gets back on the ship, and she gets back in her timeline. Well, her memories start coming back. Well, now she feels like she's cheating on him with... Okay, that still plays. Even her telling Rey later, like, you don't give up on things, and, you know, trying to, like, don't give up on us. And, you know, Rey, the 6'2" Boy Scout, of course he's not giving up on her. Like, those 2 years were real for him. He didn't lose a damn thing when he got back. So, yeah, he's still interested. He's not going to give up. That's not the guy Rey Palmer is. That's fine. I'm good with it all, technically. I just don't care about them too much.
Yeah.
I'm not overall... again, anyone who's listening to the show knows this. I don't care about the romance crap. I want people fighting. I want to get to Snart and Mick, you know?
I don't care if it's a good story or... I mean, I don't care if it's... I just want a good story. I don't care if it's romance or not. I want things that feel earned, and so far they haven't. I know they gave me 2 years, you know, 2 years later, and that's fine.
Well, great. I mean, they didn't.
Like, this has been earned completely.
They used a cheat code with the 2 years.
I know what it was.
So, like, on paper,
back in my day,
fine.
We called that a warp zone.
Like, it technically, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just they didn't really. You don't have your like FaceTime with it. You haven't gotten an emotional connection to it. I don't particularly care about. I just don't really care how they come out, man. I don't.
Fair enough. I really enjoyed the Star Lab. The Star Labs Corporation took over Central City. That was funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I realized this episode that Wentworth Miller looks like an Andy Kubert drawing.
I don't know what that means.
Go look up, or if you want, you know, listeners, Jason, whomever, if you want to, like, look up Andy Kubert, K-U-B-E-R-T, son of the famous Joe Kubert, look up Andy and specifically his X-Men run. Look at his Gambit, like, in the face. He kind of has, like, the same, like, everyone looks kind of like Wentworth Miller that he draws. It's not a negative thing. It's just something I noticed.
I do remember his Gambit. I definitely do remember his Gambit, now that I'm looking at his pictures. Oh, yeah, I'm not opposed to it. Not opposed to this idea.
Something about the shape of the mouth and the eyes. Something about that. It's just looks very Wentworth Miller.
I'm going to say it's maybe the cheeks, too. He always draws these, when you look at it, he draws these extremely concaved cheeks on Gambit. They're real sunken in. Like he's got a distinct line down. Maybe that's it.
I mean, it's the eyebrows, too. He's got those, like, arched, pointy eyebrows.
He does, doesn't he?
Anyway. I really wish they'd start doing, like, transmogrification with Firestorm. You know how he can just, like, change, like, the molecular structure of anything?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I wish they would do that.
That would be nice.
Of course, that would probably power him too much.
That's, I think, the reason they haven't done it, actually, at all. I mean, if you... like, characters like that are just... freaking awesome. I mean, they're so much fun to play with, but you have to pull them out of the box sparingly. Because somebody like Firestorm, you know, completely off the leash, can do a lot of good or a lot of damage or whatever, but he can fix a lot of things without needing much help at all.
Yeah.
Like, who's the Marvel equivalent? Atom Man?
Proteus,
no.
Maybe?
No, he's one of them. It's one of the... Oh, Lord. Molecule Man? No. Jeff and Matt are going to kill me. I was just reading about him. He's in Secret Wars. He's like the reason they come out of that.
Oh, hell. Sorry, I've been so in tune with DC lately. I'm gone.
Molecule Man? I'll figure this out. Atomic Man? No. I think it may be Molecule Man. Anyway, it's one of those guys, though. Transmogrification, like I said. Can change any single atom into any other kind of single atom or element or whatever the hell you want to do. It's just an insanely useful power. Yeah, if they used it on the show, though, we would constantly be asking, why doesn't he just fix that now? Like, why doesn't he just change this?
We would.
So, I hate not being able to see it, but I think it was smart to leave it out.
Yeah, probably. What else?
You like the Hunters? Looking forward to the Hunters?
Not terribly.
The League of Time Assassins?
Not terribly. It's just going to be Kronos times, like, 10.
Right. I mean, they gave him a good enough ramp-up, like... Kronos was apparently very well trained by the time they got done with him, and even he's telling him, "Yeah, run."
Yeah.
So I've got their gravity outright, but I'll tell you what, man, I'll take the Hunters, even if it isn't a bit League of Assassin-y, just to get Mac, just to get Mick back on the team. I'll make that trade any day.
sadly, what I thought was a lot more fun, but also infuriating, because I'm complex like that. is this bullshit about, like, oh, Sydney Palmer? Oh, he must go to work for Felicity.
What's wrong with that?
Are we seriously saying that Ray has, like, a twin brother that is going to be on Arrow now?
That's fine. It didn't say twin. He really didn't. I mean, I know it looks a lot like him. It looks a lot like him, but come on, man. How many action figures do you have? Some of these things are just poorly done. I could easily say, like, this is just a really poorly done bust. It's going to look like his brother. And, you know, you've seen some families where you can just tell the gene pool is very strong in favor of one set of circumstances. So you get, like, three brothers, and I swear you can barely tell the difference between them. Like, the only reason you know is because, like, one has a mole on the top of his forehead or something. They've got those. I can deal with this. I can deal with that.
Yeah.
I don't actually want to go see Sydney go work for Felicity.
Right.
But I'll be honest, if they never bring it up again, it'll be kind of cute next time I go look at Felicity's company and be like, yeah, I bet his brother's hanging around there somewhere. That's neat.
Yeah, no, they wouldn't bring that crap up, man. I bet you anything, he's gonna show up next season.
I'll make a dollar bet with you that we never see or hear from that again.
There is no Sidney Palmer in the comics.
I had no recollection of him whatsoever.
There is no Sidney Palmer in the comics. No, they're going to do something with it.
A dollar? A dollar then?
A dollar bet, sir.
I have a dollar. I can't win it until all of these shows get canceled because... Unless you want to give it a time frame. I'll tell you what, if by the end of next season that hasn't been mentioned, I'll take your dollar. And if it ever gets mentioned, I'll give it back.
All right. That's fine.
High stakes, man. High stakes.
I'm not sweating a dollar, man.
People don't know. That's 8 bits.
I ain't sweating a dollar.
Means the world.
Yo, I got $2.
Right. That's only like a third of my stash.
A third? I said I got $2.
Oh, I can't afford a dollar. But we'll do it anyway.
Now I know what to get you as a wedding gift.
One shiny dollar.
A shiny dollar. Well, does it have to be shiny?
If you can. Just spray it with a little olive oil before you give it to me. Yeah.
Right. All right, anything else about this episode you want to say?
Snart never had a chance.
Mm.
You take a look at those two standing together. Mick wins that fight every day. He went in there
especially,
to die.
Especially with his hand still like recovering. Like I'm sure he still doesn't know how to use his hand.
It looked like he had it pretty much figured out. Close sling. I like that though. Like it's, I felt like Snart knows he's physically outmatched by Mick. I mean, he is, and he's called him like you're the muscle, I'm the brains. Like they know where they stand with each other. So
right.
It turns into a neat moment. He basically goes in there to either be killed or for Mick to forgive him. One of the two, but he's not leaving until one of those two happens.
Yeah.
And in the process, he sets it up with Mick so that you kill me, you hop on that jump ship, we never hear from you again. He's setting it up so that like. Sacrifice me, spare the team, leave.
Yeah.
Damn it, Captain Cold has a heart.
Yeah, he does.
I dug it. Really dug it. Dug the episode in general.
Yeah.
And another instance of just the super-powered throwdown, they look phenomenal on this show. I love watching them. Ray flying around,
good, yeah.
Camera pulls over to Firestorm, you know, Firestorming. It's,
mm-hmm.
It's wonderful.
If there's like one great tragedy in this episode, it might be that we don't get enough Jewel State. We don't get enough of her.
Yeah. I can always deal with more Jewel State. She was so much fun.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm out though. I was just happy with it.
Alright. Well, guys, let us know what you guys thought. Legends of Tomorrow like living up to your standards or your expectations? Have you been having fun with the episodes? Let's talk about it, guys. We are DC on Screen. You can find every episode at dconscreen.com. You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher and wherever pods be catched. We are proud members of the Giant Size Team Up Network, giantsizeteamup.com. Go check out our buddies Matt Carroll and Jeff Randall, the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, mcucast.com. We'll be back in a couple days with some news, a whole lot of news happening.
Mm-hmm.
So until then, guys, keep some DC on your screen.